Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We locked and loaded. 900 AMWRD 96.1 Word Radio. I'm excited. It's the first Friday of the new year. Today is January the 2nd. We're kicking it off. Man, exciting show. We got a big bad show today because we got some amazing guests coming on the show as well. After our first guest in the second half, we actually have our first guest will be coming up. I'm sorry, our second guest will be coming up, which would be the director of the Clean and Green Initiatives, which is Carl, Director Carlton Williams. So I'm really excited to be furthering that conversation, starting off the new year right here in the city of Philadelphia. But I'm excited because we'll be speaking to some grassroots advocacy workers who are doing some amazing work here in the city of Philadelphia to really just make sure we are really pushing towards that sustainability. You know, that greener city that we're looking for. But what does that look like in all aspects? You know, there's so many different things that interconnect when we talk about environmental justice. But when I think about transport, when I think about transportation and equality to transportation, that's a really big thing that we talk about here in the city of Philadelphia, especially in our 2025 season. We just wrapped up with everything that happened with SEPTA and the budget and all that. So we want to make sure going into 2026, we got the people who are doing the job, spreading the news and information. So I want to welcome Fifth Square onto today's program. We got Morgan and we got Brennan. Morgan, I'm going to start with you. Please introduce yourself and let the people know exactly who they're listening to.
Hi, thanks so much, POC. My name is Morgan Algrove Hodges. I am the Transit Committee co-chair for Fifth Square Advocacy here in Philadelphia. I've lived in Philly for 5 years. I'm originally from Hartford, Connecticut, which is a big why for me, a big part of why I do what I do.
Awesome.
My background is transit policy, transportation equity. I think it's a really important way that we can improve racial and economic justice in our urban areas.
I love that. And Brendan, talk to us.
Well, thank you for having us. My name is Brennan Mirage. I'm the co-chair of Fifth Square's housing committee. So focusing more on kind of housing situation in the city, and talking about issues pertaining to that. But I am more of a recent resident of Philadelphia, moved to the city about 2 years ago.
Awesome.
So have learned a lot and really enjoy the city. But my background is mainly in politics and campaigning, but I think there's a lot of intersection between those things and housing and transit as well.
For
So
sure. Definitely agree with you on the intersection part. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you all on today here on Eco Word. And I wanted to just start because when you think about Philadelphia, there are a lot of people moving into the city of Philadelphia, just like you two. And I wanted to ask, you know, coming into the city of Philadelphia and doing the work that you're doing, what made you actually want to get into the advocacy around all things that connect Philadelphia, whether it's transportation, whether it's housing, whether it's sustainability, you know, and I'm start with you, Brendan. What made you want to get involved?
I've kind of been always been interested in kind of housing, things like that. In my outside of Fifth Square, I also have volunteered a lot with Habitat for Humanity. So I started doing that in college, and have tried to do it. I've moved around a bunch, but I've tried to do it everywhere I've gone. And so that was kind of my first exposure to kind of like a lot of housing issues. And obviously, it's only increased in salience since I was in college. Things like affordability and, being able to, rehab a house, being able to afford repairs that are necessary, things like that. So that was my first exposure to it. And I've always kind of been interested in housing policy, reading up on things like that. But I think when I moved to Philly, and heard about Fifth Square, it seemed like a good opportunity to kind of get, like you were saying, more into that kind of advocacy space and kind of pushing for better policies around it in the city itself. So that's my story.
I love that. And tell me a little bit about your story, Morgan.
So I got into a lot of volunteer and advocacy work when I was in college. I really wanted to be doing something and getting out there and making some sort of impact somehow. And I didn't have any money, but I had a lot of time. And so that was sort of, I came to this conclusion of, okay, well, I can make myself useful somehow. And I grew up doing theater stuff, and it's a lot of like, oh, somebody's going to tell you to go do something, and then you're going to figure out how to do that. And that for me is a lot of like volunteering and advocacy work. So I kind of come from that background of somebody somewhere has a task for me, and I can be helpful somehow. When I came to Philly originally for graduate school in policy work. My background before that was in sociology. And so it's a lot of talking about problems and complaining about problems,
Yes.
which I love, but after a certain point, I was like, we should actually maybe be doing something. Surely there is something that somebody could do. So I guess it'll be me. And then I had the pleasure of interning with Councilmember Jamie Gaudier for a long time. And so I really got to get into the community and really work with local advocates and community members who have been in their community for their whole lives and just learn about what their concerns are and where I can be helpful to them.
I love that. And Morgan, just to, full circle that moment, we kind of jumped in there a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Fifth Square and the organization itself.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So Fifth Square is an urban advocacy organization. It's a nonprofit. Our focus is on transportation, housing, and Vision Zero, largely the city as a whole. It is about making the city better for the people who live here, the people who are experiencing it every day. We are advocating frequently for better policy, for better city programs, trying to make sure that folks are getting their voice heard in. Whether it's city government, state government, or different neighborhood organizations.
And in 2025, it was a really big year around both of those conversations around housing, and around sustainability when it comes down to transportation and what does that look like. And Brendan, I want to jump you back into the conversation because, when it comes down to housing, that was a big issue because affordable housing is a huge problem in the city because we house a lot of unhoused folks at the same time. So I wanted to just ask you, throughout the 2025 season, coming into 2026, what are your thoughts on that? Especially because we just got the housing. We got a lot of things done in 25. We got the renters thing as far as the application process done. And then also speaking of Councilmember Jamie Gaultier, she was a part of also accessing, making sure we have access to, I'm sorry, affordable housing at the same time, coming from the mayor's office when she first rolled in talking about affordable housing and the policies she wanted to shape around it.
So obviously affordable housing is really important to the city. As I'm sure you're aware, Philly has a very high poverty rate compared to a lot of other cities of similar size. So obviously affordable housing should be a priority for any sort of administration, housing program, et cetera. But at the same time, just in the city overall and Fifth Square generally, we just see a problem with getting housing of all types built, not just affordable housing, but things like, just like new housing, like I was talking about before, rehabbing older housing into something that's a little bit more modern and maybe a little bit more habitable. There's just an all above across the board kind of crisis with housing in the city. So we just need to make it easier to build housing of all types. So obviously affordable housing is important, but we also need some of those, more market rate housing, some of that more, older housing that might be in disrepair. We need to get it all kind of like back into good use and make sure that there are housing options available for all Philadelphians, so across the board.
And one of the biggest things that people also talked about too is that yes, Philadelphia is a renter city, but at the same time, we do have a lot of homeowners, and those homeowners need assistance as well, whether it's from utilities or repairs, like you just said. So when you think about the conversation around that, what are you all talking about at Fifth Square, Brennan, of how to actually help people who own their homes?
So obviously there are a lot of great programs for Philly residents who do own their homes and are in need of things like that. So there's the whole home repair fund that was set up I think by Senator Saval, which it does offers things like weatherization, basic repairs for doing kind of like making sure that things like a water heater, for instance, are functioning in your home. So those are all really great programs that folks can take advantage of. I think the main problem there is that, there's wait lists that are very long for a lot of these programs. So one of the things the
Good
city,
point.
it needs to be focusing on, and the state, I would say, because the city also has, limited resources, is just making those programs move a little bit faster. Getting people off the wait list, making sure there's more funding, more people who can like take cases and actually complete them, things like that. So obviously that's also something that we at Fifth Square would love to see is more resources devoted to some of these programs that already exist, for things like that.
For sure. And being a nonprofit, we had to fight a lot of nonprofits, I should say, had to fight a lot of big giants in 2025 to keep the lights on, to stay alive, right? And I wanted to just ask you because our federal government is really shape-shifting everything when it comes down to HUD, housing and urban development. I'm sorry, I'm tripping on my words this morning, but housing and urban development. And I wanted to ask you that question. You know, funding has been cut across the board. You know, PHA funding has been cut across the board. What are your thoughts on that, and how are you all at a grassroots level helping? Because you know, you're trying to keep the lights on over there at Fifth Square, but then at the same time, you're trying to help the residents keep their lights on over there, you know, who are receiving public assistance for housing.
I mean, like you said, we're trying to navigate that a little bit as well, with grants and things like that, kind of figuring out that path for ourselves. But I think that the biggest thing that we try to do is just educate people on, hey, what's still out there that you could take advantage of. And so, we touched on the Whole Home Repair Program. There's also a lot of other housing assistance programs in Philly, whether it's for tenants, whether it is for homeowners. So I think part of it is just making sure that people are educated on, there here are some alternatives or maybe some programs you might not have heard of that are out there that you can still take advantage of. So that's the main thing. And then obviously, part of our activism is pushing, state and local governments to do a little bit more. Because obviously in this moment, we need them to step up and kind of fill those gaps. So I think that is the other part of this is, obviously without the federal government support, we need to be able to get creative and find solutions to do things that will help to kind of cover those areas that have kind of been cut and are no longer being supported by the federal government.
Thank you so much. And for those who are just tuning in, you listen to Brendan Mirage, who's the co-chair for the Housing Committee for Fifth Square. And I want to jump Morgan back into it. Morgan Algrove Hodges back into the conversation, who's actually the co-chair for the Transit Committee. And Morgan, you had your work cut out for you as well. Just like Brendan had his on the side of housing, you had your work cut out for you on the side of transportation, right? And the fact that we were over 100 days late for this budget, Morgan, talk to me a little bit about that, and how did that affect what you all had going on as far as the house, I mean, as far as the transit committee. I'm sorry, I'm tripping off my words.
No worries. This season was crazy. This budget season was crazy. I don't think any of us expected the budget to go that late. We expected it to be a bit late, and then it just kept going. And we worked really closely with Steven at Transit Forward Philly and Connor at Transit for All PA. Those are definitely our closest allies in this fight. And I think Steven had said, you know, they had booked out events and canvasses through July, maybe. And then we kept going for a couple more months. And so once we got to that point, there was sort of a scramble of, oh, we need to actually kind of rewrite our strategy and figure out what's happening. All of us also started this year. So Steven started his role about a month after myself and my co-chair started in our roles, and Connor started around January. So we all hit the ground running this year. I think my first week, we were doing interviews with the Inquirer about the Zero Fare program. So it was really, really busy. But it was a lot of canvassing, a lot of capacity building, and developing volunteers and onboarding folks, and just getting people involved. We got people involved who we met at some of these SEPTA regional rail stations. We canvassed at every station throughout the summer, talking about the potential cuts to SEPTA and urging people to contact their representatives and their senators. And so we were out there pounding the pavement a ton, especially Stephen. He went to so many campuses, and we held rallies, and we did rallies in Harrisburg and rode the train. And there were just If there was an angle, we hit it. And it was really, I think it really made a difference. Obviously, the cuts are not, we didn't get the funding that we wanted, but it could have been a lot worse at the end of the day. And I think making folks' voices heard was really important. And I think it really made a difference. You know, there was some coverage once the budget was finally passed talking about, oh, you know, this was all for nothing, and we didn't get the budget anyways. And I think that's wrong. I think this we made a difference. It could have been a lot more catastrophic, especially as we go into 2026. We're looking at all these world events.
With tourism coming to the city for sure, I definitely agree with you on that. And I wanted to ask you something too, because you mentioned the zero fare, and that's like a big conversation on a national level as well for a lot of urban cities. And one of the cities that just got a new mayor, Mandotti in New York, he's like a big advocate for that, right? Like really pushing for zero fare in New York State. So I wanted to just ask you that. We don't necessarily have it on a level in which it's coming directly from the mayor as far as zero fare, but we do have a lot of city council members, such as Nicholas O'Rourke, who's really pushing for zero fare. Do you think that it's something that's possible for a city like Philadelphia to actually have zero fare? Because it's not coming from, the big horse's mouth.
So we actually do have a zero fare program. Right now, it's got 60,000 participants in it who are riding SEPTA completely for free.
But
That's being
that's go ahead. You're about to say what I was about to say. Go ahead.
it's a pilot program, and it's based off of their income and their enrollment in other income-based programs like SNAP and TANF. So that program could certainly be expanded. You could design it differently, but right now that is one of the best zero fare and low income fare programs in the country. There are very few other programs that are doing it as easily as we are. We just looked at who's on SNAP and sent them a SEPTA card that's already ready to go. And they didn't have to do anything. They don't have to apply. They don't have to validate their income and jump through all these hoops. We just said, hey, it seems like you could use this. Go for it. And that is awesome. That did come from Mayor Kenney. That was his program that he made happen. And we're really hoping that Mayor Parker wants to invest in that and wants to keep that moving. The work that Councilmember O'Rourke is doing is awesome, trying to develop that the Transit Access Fund to make that really a secure part of the budget. The zero fare program costs $20 to $25 million annually. It's not very much. The Transit Access Fund is looking for 0.5% of the annual budget, which would be about $34 million. That could totally stabilize zero fare. It leaves an additional $10 to $15 million for other transit access programs, or it could also just be leveraging private investment to expand SEPTA Key Advantage. So the work that Councilmember O'Rourke is doing is awesome, and we're really happy to be supportive and partnering with him on that.
Thank you so much for clearing that up, because I was actually going to say exactly what you're about to say, but you cleared it up in a way that only a co-chair can clean that up, right? So I
I've got my
appreciate
numbers written down here. And
it.
I can talk more too about Mamdani's plan in New York. I got a little sidetrack there, but his policy proposal is to make the buses free. So that is, for me,
But
really
that's for
exciting.
all New Yorkers.
All New
Yes,
Yorkers. It doesn't matter. You don't need any kind of card. You can just get on the bus and go. And so my really, if you dig into what my exact background is, it is low income fare policy and free transit. And so I hear about making the buses free and I get all excited. When you talk about, sustainability and looking at transit from an eco perspective, free buses is really cool because not only is it really equitable for low-income riders and riders of color, but it speeds the buses up. So if you think about if you've got a bus stop with 10 people getting on, everybody's got to wait in line, tap their card, get on the bus. That slows it down. If everyone just gets on the bus, you're going a lot faster. The buses are sped up, they're more efficient. They're also not idling as long, and so you've got less exhausts going out into the environment, and then it makes it easier for people to ride the bus. So what might have been a 10-minute drive, it's like, oh, you know what? I'll just take the bus anyways. It's free.
That makes sense. And also, it'll be less cars on the road. Philadelphia was actually ranked, what, number two for commute, worst commute city. So yeah, we definitely got to do something about that, because we got a lot more traffic on the road right now. And Brendan, I want to jump you back into the conversation. We got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about policy. Do you think that we got anything done as far as like what we did here with city council, with our local government? Do you think we got anything done in the 2025 season?
Well, the big exciting thing that came out, just a couple of weeks ago was the mayor's home plan, finally getting rolling on that. The bond authorization got started. There was a little bit of friction between the mayor and the council, but we were happy to see that the authorization passed, and that plan will start to go forward. So I think that is something we'll be looking to build on, moving into 2026 and beyond. Outside of that, unfortunately, I think the budget fight kind of took up a lot of air in the room, at the state legislature. So there was not as much activity as we would have liked to see there on housing policy, but there is some exciting stuff that we have heard about that will be introduced in this session. Some of them are bills that were held or just like not moved forward from the last session. But we're hoping to see hopefully some more progress on things like that moving forward in the upcoming session. So we're excited for that. We are mobilizing folks to, go and testify or just, go out there and educate folks on some of these things. But yeah, that's what we're looking forward to, I think, in the upcoming year.
And my last question I want to ask you, Brendan, about housing. When it comes down to discouragement, I feel like a lot of people are getting discouraged, right? Because of the talks coming from mainstream media when it comes down from what the federal government is doing, right, with the HUD. So I wanted to just ask you, because you mentioned earlier the long wait lines, the list to get on. Do you feel like people should still, I know you mentioned it earlier, people should still reach out and apply for things that are available, but for the things that are on waiting lists, do you think people should still apply for PHA? Do you still think people should apply to sign up for public housing assistance at this current time?
I mean, it's like I said, it's applying for something that's kind of like the first step here. But there's also needs to be, like I was talking about before, pressure put on, local government officials, state government officials. There needs to be accountability for these things. Like, hey, you set up this program. I understand that we're in a tough time with federal funding, but at the end of the day, it's your job to make these programs actually work.
Because we're
So,
talking about like 5 to 10 years of waiting lists, you
yeah.
know what I
Exactly.
mean?
So that is, in my view, unacceptable. And so we need to not just apply for these things. We also need to have these folks who are on these wait lists or just who are activists like ourselves going out and going to city council and going to the state legislature and being like, hey, we need you to make these things work. Like, figure it out. Like, that's why we elected you. So, so people should still apply for them, but they also will need to do a little bit extra, unfortunately, especially now that we're living in such unprecedented times.
For sure. And I want to slide in a really quick question, and it's actually going to be a double question. One, I wanted to ask you about gentrification. What is Fifth Square doing to hold down, the gentrification space and how people are taking over as far as contractors and things like that? And then my last question is, how can we make sure when we are allowing development to happen into these neighborhoods that have been long sustainable neighborhoods, but now we see more bulk trash coming in because we have apartment buildings that are 50 plus, like how are we holding up contractors and developers a little bit more accountable, and is Fifth Square a part of that conversation?
Yeah, so I think those things kind of go together. So like the gentrification conversation as well as, development, those are kind of intertwined. So our view specifically on gentrification is we don't want people to be displaced, and we think that if we do things effectively, like get maybe loosen restrictions on housing and make sure that everyone kind of has a housing option that fits them, that we'll see less displacement than we would. And when it comes to the like trash policy, things like that, I don't think we have a formal position on it. Obviously, the trash people should be paid more, and there should be better policies around collection and things like that. If I'm remembering correctly, the city policy is like if it's over a certain number of apartment buildings, they don't offer trash services, they have to do it privately. So there should maybe be some changes there. But as far as that goes, I think that's more of a kind of, again, we need to have some discussions about changing the policies around there. But as far as like gentrification goes, like we want to be as minimally disruptive as possible to folks. And I know there's a lot of concern around gentrification when it comes to these conversations with housing. But I think that if you look at kind of what actually pushes people out of the neighborhood, it's when you have a situation like we have now where there's not enough housing to go around and people just continually bid up the prices for it. So I think
That
if
part.
we make sure that we have enough housing units for everyone, then we can hopefully make sure that people are not being forced out of their homes.
That part. And Morgan, I want to jump you in with my last question for you. And again, I appreciate you both for joining us. Thank you, Fifth Square, for making time for us this morning and also the work that you're doing here in the city of Philadelphia. But Morgan, I wanted to ask you, when it comes down to transportation, we are about to get into a really big year. This is 250th year celebrating the birthplace of democracy, right? But a lot of tourism is coming to the city because we have the All-Star Game, and then we also have the FIFA World Cup, as well as all the action that will be happening around the 250. So talk to me a little bit about sustainability, right? Do you think that Philadelphia is ready for this amount of tourism in a way in which our transit can be responsible to
I
get
think
them back and forth?
there's a lot going on, and the most important thing is making sure that SEPTA has the funding it needs to be functioning when we get these visitors. Right now our trolley tunnel is closed because of a wrong part, and our trolleys are diverted through West Philly. And so that kind of thing, we can't have that happening when we have all these visitors, when we have the World Cup. Folks need to be able to cross the Schuylkill River and get into Center City easily. We also want to make sure that our buses are still accessible, that they're reliable,
They're on time.
on time, exactly, and that the folks who live here and still have to go to work are not going to be impacted by
That
that.
part.
And so making sure that our visitors feel like they can reliably and safely take our subways and our regional rail to get around so that folks don't feel like they have to rent a car and drive everywhere and make traffic worse. One of the things that we are really excited to hear about just came out recently is the return of the intercity bus terminal to Chinatown.
Awesome.
So that has been a big issue for the past couple of years. I myself ride the intercity bus all the time to New York, to Allentown, and we're going to have a lot of visitors coming in who we don't want the
Because they
first
were
thing to
throwing us up
see.
under the spring garden.
Right. The first thing you see when you come to Philadelphia should not be underneath I-95 on Spring Garden. That is not pleasant, and we don't want that to be the last thing you see either. And so that bus terminal is go going to be functional by the time the World Cup comes. That's what we've been told, and so we're really excited about that.
I hope it's permanent too. I hope it's not just for tourism, and I hope it's also for city folks as well.
I think it is a it's a lease, so it's a I want to say 10-year lease that
Okay, cool.
PPA has taken. And they're doing renovations on the building. And so this is for Philadelphians, during 2026, but after as well. And I'm happy. I'm personally, Fifth Square's position, we're happy about that bus terminal returning to Chinatown. It is a building that is already there. It is across the street from Jefferson Station. It is a block away from the L. This is a well-situated site. And a lot of our tourists are going to be coming for Chinatown, for Center City, for Old City. And so it puts them right there. Of course, we would long-term love to see some sort of better bus connection at 30th Street and have that be a big transit hub like you see at Penn Station in New York. But for what it is right now, this is a really good option.
I agree. I agree. And I think this is a great way to also give back to the city of Philadelphia because we are a commuter city. A lot of people travel from work to home every day. So I think that that's a good way to give back to the city, especially as people were, really making noise about that situation. But this wraps up our conversation. We actually went about 10 minutes over. So I hope my producer doesn't kill me. But I enjoyed speaking with you both. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Morgan, can you tell the people how they can find more information about Fifth Square, website, social media, all that good stuff?
Absolutely. We are Fifth Square Advocacy on our website, on Instagram, and on our website, you can go on there and see events. We've got meetup events every month, and there are committee meetings every month as well if you want to get more involved. I definitely recommend signing up for our newsletter. Really good way to see what's going on in the city.
No doubt. And if you're interested in different pockets, as you can hear, Fifth Square has a lot to offer as far as the intersections of how they're putting back into the city of Philadelphia. Make sure you check them out. I appreciate you guys again for joining us. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And I hope you have a great start of your new year.
Thanks
Thank
so
you so
much.
much. Same
No
to you.
doubt. No doubt. Peace. Have a good one.
You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl, POC. Stay locked. We'll be right back.